Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, start your sleep engines, because I'm about to wave the fuzzy flag of sleep, because I said time twice, bummer, but it is time for sleep with me. Three times cancels it out. Now I gotta say four times. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you want to help out the show with a one-time donation or to join our Patreon, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/donate this Sunday, January 17th, I believe, when we'll start that. And if anyone has any questions about that or anything else, I'm going to do a live stream that Sunday, January 17th. I'm pretty sure I'll update the time, but I'm looking at around 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's Sunday, January 17th. I should have someone from Patreon on hand to answer any Patreon, for a few minutes, to answer any Patreon questions. And any of the questions, anything else that's come up, you feel free to ask me live. And then that'll be recorded if we do it. I think we'll do it on Blab, which leads into the warning about this upcoming show, which is a platform we've tested out. So it'll be recorded, so if you miss it, you'll be able to see it. And that leads into the warning of the upcoming episode here is part of a live stream we did. So the sound quality will be a little bit different. And also we did this live stream in solidarity with the events in France and Beirut at the time. And so that may stir up some feelings in people, so you might want to avoid it. So if that does something that keeps you up or something, I apologize. But it was something we were doing, you know, to show solidarity. And it was something, you know, like I said, it's important to me to use this platform for stuff like that. But yeah, again, I don't want to disturb anyone's sleep patterns. And yeah, it'll sound a little bit different, but it's pretty boring, the story. So as we get into it, so it'll be a little bit non-traditional episode. Yeah, without further ado, this is a little story that we did live. So it was a live on scene trending Twitter Tuesday. And the audio, I really had a lot of trouble getting this audio. Because I think the person that was recording it fell asleep or something. But yeah, let's get on to the show.
And yeah, I'll just do an episode right now, and then maybe we'll get a chance to use it. A little nerve wracking because the other two kind of happen. This is how usually the Trending Tuesday episodes work anyway. Just I'm not online the whole time here, but they're usually an hour. So let's see if we can do it. Lately I've been using Tweetbot to look up my terms. But let's see here. I'm going to look up what's trending. Worldwide trends we have up. I'm going to take a screenshot. I think got everything. So some of you, this will be familiar. Those of you that don't listen to the podcast, this is how I start the show. And maybe I'll adjust it a little bit for everybody here. Here we go. Hey, are you up all night, tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the live stream to put you to sleep. I'm going to do it with a bedtime story. And if you want, all you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and leave the audio on this running. And I'm going to do the rest, and I'm going to do my best to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's got you awake tonight, whatever's going through your brain, whatever feelings you're feeling, whatever your body is doing, whatever it is that's got you tossing and turning. I'm going to try to take your mind off of that. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to try to use lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders, long pregnant pauses, and mispronunciations, asides. I wonder about that. And things like that. And all you got to do is lie there. And the idea behind it is that you can't think of two things at once. So if you're up worrying, or you're feeling the impact of something, and your mind or your feelings just can't let a hold of it. I'm going to give you something to take your, something else to take your attention away. And it's not going to be a gripping story. It's not going to be an amazing story. It's going to be a little bit distracting, a little bit amusing, a little bit weird. Usually stories I do are a bit odd, a bit strange, a bit different, but it's going to be distracting and to try to get you over your overthinking. And let you set aside and drift off into dreamland, because I want to reach my voice. If I could, I'd reach my hand across the deep, dark night to you, all of you, particularly in Paris and Beirut, and all of you that are impacted directly and indirectly. I want to send, if I can, even if it's indirectly, my voice across the deep, dark night, and try to at least give you a chance for a night of peaceful rest. Or if you're up tossing and turning in the middle of the night, a friendly voice that you say, man, I don't know what the heck that guy's talking about, but it's not terrible. Better than whatever's going on here. His voice is like, as we say around here, the creaky side of dulcet. But, I'll just listen to this. And we do have, it's not a patented system, it's not a copyrighted system, it's not even a system, it's a technique I offer you. In the world says that you should work on your listening skills, you should be doing more active listening, engaged listening. But here in the podcast, I say, hey, if this is active listening, you can do some of that listening. We call it reflective listening. And basically what you're going to do is just lie back and listen to my voice. But slowly, one of those more intelligent parts of your brain will realize, well, this guy's not talking about, it's like, is this still the intro to the podcast? Or is he setting up the, I don't understand what he's, is this, I thought this was a story-based podcast. Is this, when's the guided meditation? And if you stick with it, you stick through that uncomfortableness, your brain will be like, oh, wait a second, this is a bunch of nonsense. And your brain will, it'll just be like a mechanical wheel. It'll disengage, you know, say, hey, instead of absorbing the sounds and sending the, you know, this is not a science-based metaphor, but instead of sending them into your brain, it'll just let them bounce off the eardrum and reflect away. And soon, ideally, my voice will just become, I've seen some murmuring, and I have had some wonderful blogs, French blogs, write about the podcast in the past, and they've even said, like, it doesn't matter. This guy could be speaking any language, even if you speak English or French, it doesn't really make a difference. He's just kind of droning on and on. So I'm going to be here droning on and on for you. And then I'm going to do a story. It's based on what's trending on Twitter. And I'm going to use that as the guidepost for the story. I want to make sure everyone understands I'm not a guru. I'm not a sleep expert. I'm not even a sleep amateur. I mean, I sleep. I've had insomnia. I've had many sleepless nights, overthinking, over worrying, anxiety, depression, you know, self-medication. I've gone down all those roads. We don't need any roads. But the reason I do this podcast is because I can relate. I might not be suffering from the same thing you are. I might not be able to understand what you're going through. I might not even be able to actually do anything to help you other than to just be here in the deep, dark night. To take your mind off stuff. That's what I'm good at, is telling pointless meanders and boring stories. And tonight's story starts out right now at the beginning. And since I'm not a guru, I can't just sit here and tell you how to detach yourself. I have to do it. My intelligence, my intellectual capacity has been taken over by like the nonsense portion of my brain. At some point, there was some sort of brain-related rearrangement, pre-birth, I think. But one thing we know about bedtime, about trying to fall asleep, is it's time to end the debates at bedtime. But there's debates on TV, there's Republican debates, there's Democratic debates, there's a Republican warm-up debate. Even tonight, I think there's debates going on in Argentina. At bedtime, there's debates. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do tomorrow? Is it okay? But I wonder what would happen, like if I moderated the debates, like what if I became an evil guru? Like tonight was my first step to becoming a guru, where I use the power to slowly invade your mind and set a seed that would cause me to rise to power. Now, unfortunately, my ambitions tend to stray because I get distracted. So what if I use this power we're gathering, this force, to become the dictator of debates? You say, why don't you just become the dictator of the world? Were you kidding me? I could barely run my own life. You say, okay, so not the dictator. What about the dictator of, like, the United States? No. Oh, boy. See, who's it? I think the U.S. has, what do you think the oligarchs are going to do when I try to become dictator? I say, okay, what about a smaller nation? And like, that's too much. Then I have to learn, like, I don't even know the U.S. history. How am I going to, you want me to learn another? So would I have to go back to school? And say, we'll probably start you at kindergarten. Like Billy Madison? No, you'll be by yourself, you know, where you can't damage the other children by your weirdness. So, and you'd have to go to school for real, not like the first time when you didn't do anything. Okay, no, don't want to take over a smaller nation then. So I say, you know, since I got this magical dictatorial power, what if I just become dictator of debates? This is like the cabal, that, you know, the New World Order cabal. Did he say dictator of debates? And maybe they're on like a conference call like this, but their images are projected here. I guess they're inside my brain, but they say, I'm a dictator of debates. He's got all, you know, what can possibly go wrong with that? It would only go wrong for him or the debaters who are, you know, participating in illusion. Okay, let's see. We ran it. You know, we came to a consensus. We're the cabal of consensus building here. And we think this is a pretty good idea. You know, we think you should be dictator of debates. All right, first ruling. Do I have a rise to power, or do I just become an instant power? And they say, yeah, you just run things. We'll call a meeting tomorrow with all the, you're just going to do the U.S. debates, right? I say, yeah, for this year, let's see. Yeah, why don't you start out? And I say, okay, well, first ruling is let's get rid of the Republican and Democratic debates. You know, let's just they say you don't have to rule anything. You're a dictator. All right, I declare that there's, you know, and they say, well, what are you going to come up with instead? Your first act of power as dictator of debates is to end all debates. Then you're not going to have, I said, man, you guys are good. I need to get a cabal. So where do you get a, are you really a consensus building cabal? And then these guys laughed. Oh my God. They laughed for hours. I didn't make a joke though, guys. And I say, no, I'm not going to demolish debates. I'm going to, you know, do something. I'm going to dictate some debates, but you want to dictate a debate? No. This is why I'm the debate dictator. And I say, you know what, guys, I probably need it because my brain, you know, gets all mixy. I say, how about you? Can I get some kind of a helper? And they say, oh yeah, we got a helper for you. And they say, okay, come on in here. And this guy comes in. And they say, okay, this is the dictator of debates. And I say, yeah, that sounds good. I was like, can you guys do that over over, and they say, yeah, before we meet with MSNBC and CNN and, you know, PBS, I say, great. And I say, man, I said, this is pretty, I said, who's this? And they said, okay. And I said, guys, I do this joke too. I do that first, who's on first joke too many times, so I can't do it. And they said, no, this is Larry OK. And I said, this guy's name's Larry OK. And they said, yeah, Larry OK. And he said, just call him OK. It's so easy. I said, so I get to be dictator debates and I get an assistant that I just say, OK. And they say, isn't that great? I said, man, this is good. Oh, this is good stuff. I said, OK, let's go. And I was like, oh my God. This. I said, OK, pinch me. And he pinched me. And he said, this isn't a dream. He said, no. And I said, all right. And then I just paused and I said, I'm messing with you. I said, okay. I think I want to come up with some hybrid debate, or at least we'll call it a hybrid debate because that sounds cool, you know, hybrid debate. And he said, all right. And I said, you don't need something to write this down. And he said, no, I got it all. And I said, all right, Larry. And he said, you aren't going to call. I said, you know, I don't want to overuse. Okay. I don't want to overuse it, Larry. And he said, well, what do you want to do instead of like, what kind of hybrid debate are you doing? And I said, you remember that show Iron Chef used to be on? It was originally on like PBS, I think. And then at some point it got bought, you know, and they made an American version of it that was on commercial TV, but there was like the old PBS version. And he said, he just nodded. And I said, you writing this down in your brain? He said, I don't know. I got to see if it's worth writing down or not. And I said, I declare it shall be written down in your brain. He said, yes, sir. And I said, whoa. I said, I get called, sir. This is the best. So he said, all right, Larry. Yeah, we're going to do a debate like Master Chef. Or no, I said, he said, like Master Chef Nana? And I said, Master Chef Nana? I said, your grandma's a Master Chef? And he said, no, my Nana is. And then I said, I said, this is probably not a good way to start out with my right hand man. I said, are you my right hand man, Larry? He said, yes. And I said, you know, because it gets confusing, these nicknames for older adults, you know, it's different for everybody. There's Papa, Nana, new, you know, Nunu, Poppy, you know, Papa, I've heard, you know, Ninny, you know, also, I said, is Nana an aunt or a grandma? Is that your grandmother's a master chef? He said, my Nana's a master chef. And I said, I thought we weren't going to do any. And I said, okay. I said, we'll need her. I said, well, let's get her down here. But we're going to be doing an Iron Chef. And he said, well, both those are copyrighted. We can't do either one. And I said, well, really? I said, I'm dictator of debates. And he said, yeah, debates. And I said, we can't go master debater because people will just crack up like that. And I said, Larry, I remember once when I was too young to get it, there was some sort of master debater joke and I didn't get it. And I was the only one that didn't get it, but I don't think anybody else got it. I think they just knew to laugh, but I didn't even laugh. And he said, you're going to make a good, you know, master debater. I said, no, I'm debate dictator, by the way. And I said, oh boy, Larry, we're really in trouble. You get your Nana. So Larry's Nana, you know, we call a meeting with the heads of all the news departments. And they, you know, they start calling to journalistic. And I said, there's no integrity. I'm the debate dictator of debates. And I said, what do you guys do? I said, PBS, you know, I'll get you something. Don't worry. I'll get you more money. You know, I said, Larry, what's our budget? He said, pending. I said, pending. They said, pending what? And I said, this is going to be a disaster. We got to get money first. I said, you never seen me be in charge of anything before? I can't even look up the trending trends on my phone, Larry. And he said, don't worry. And I said, why? I'm always worried, Larry. So I said, give me the head. I said, listen up, news stations. I said, do you want a debate? I said, what do you want? A debate people want to watch? A debate people feel the need to watch? A bunch of debates that you could sell like middling level advertising on? Or you want a debate to end all debates? I mean, that's a marketing term, you know, it won't be a debate to end all debates. That'll be the first debate. And I said, that's it. We'll debate about the debate. And I said, call in the candidates. And they say, you can't just, I said, I'm dictator of debates. And then they, again, I had to get on the phone with all of them. And you know, if you listen to podcasts, you probably know I have a terrible, terrible temper. And if you put me in, if you give me dictatorial authority with someone with a bad temper. So it took a lot of shouting. I said, listen, you know, Trump, you know, Sanders, those are my first two calls. Then Clinton. Then I had a tough decision after that. I said, because I said, okay, this is like kind of like making a lineup card for baseball. Sorry, we got Sanders and Trump and Clinton. And I said, hey, Larry, why don't you call? I said, oh dear. I said, Larry, is Ralph Nader with us or not? And he said, I'll look into it. And he said, if he is, just get him, you know, just in case, so he'll be our. And I said, what about Ross Perot? And he said, I said, what kind of right hand man are you? You don't know. You're supposed to fill in the gaps in my brain. And he said, all right, I'll look into it. And I said, who else we got in the third party candidates? Ron Paul's not. He's too balanced. We need, you know, less balance. I said, if we could get. I said, do you think you could get Rand Paul and Ron Paul in some sort of machine, you're like one of those transporters, but transport them so they get, you know, like The Fly, that movie, The Fly. And he said, I don't think I said, I demand it. I decree. And he said, I don't think that technology's been invented at all. And I said, we'll look into it because otherwise they're not coming to the debate. And he said, Rand Paul's. I said, Rand Paul, you know, they said, he's named after a freaking think tank. You know, give me a break. And then Larry said, can you save the material? I said, it's not material. I'm serious. I said, which should you hear first, Rand Paul or Rand Corporation? I said, isn't it? I said, is there a think tank, an evil corporation, and Rand Paul? And he said, I'll look at it. I said, man, you got a lot of work to do. You should be writing this down. So I said, all right, I got to get my lineup card for the debate. And then, of course, all the networks, they said, well, what's the debate? I said, it's a debate to end all debates. I said, you want to debate? You want to debate me? And I said, all right, so we got Carson. I said, Trump and him. I said, I don't know. That's not. I said, okay. I said, see. I said, tell Carson about the debate, but don't tell him where it is. You know, I said, can you do one of those moves? I said, invite him to the party. But don't tell them where the party is. And then if we don't want them, we'll just tell them it's at, you know, we'll tell them it's in another city. So he said, done. So I said, all right, we got it. And I said, Jeb Bush. He said, man, I said, it's no wonder Trump's doing so well. I said, get Jeb Bush for sure. I said, you know what? I said, he looks like a Brady. Is that just me or does he look like he's one of the Brady family? I said, I'll tell you what. I said, get one to see if any of the Brady's still look like Jeb Bush. Get one of them too. He said, but they're not run. I said, I decree. He said, all right, I'll get. And I said, I think it's Greg Brady. Maybe no, it's Peter. I said, get them both. And he said, I said, you're my assistant. You can't sigh. You know, no more sighs. And then I said, all right. I said, I always need like. I said, I need those like letters to figure. I said, it's like R H O A. I said, that's Rand Paul. He's out. H, who's H? I said, have we got any guys with like three names? Any candidates with three names? Marco Rubio. I said, man, I don't know. I said, I don't know. This is a hard job, master debates. And I said, you know what? I said, just invite everybody. I don't know what we're going to do. And he said, but give me in a room with Trump, Hillary, and Bernie Sanders for a little while. And he said, really? He goes, I don't think I can do that, boss. And I said, okay. And he said, okay, do it. Or are you just saying my name? And I said, I don't know. He said, I'm having doubt. I said, what if I'm not a good dictator of debates? And he said, listen, you're a dictator. You don't have to be. He goes, you just have to dictate. And he said, yeah, but I got higher standards than just, you know, I don't want to use my dictatorial. You'll be overtaken anyway. And I said, there we go. I said, all right, get those three in here. That's the debate to end all debates. They'll come up. I said, they can come up again. I said, can you imagine me versus Trump? And he said, all right, I'll make the call. He said, but he goes, you're going to need to pass a physical first. And I said, me? I said, do those guys pass the physical? And he said, yeah. He goes, they pass some kind of physical. And he said, what channel do you want to talk to first? And I said, I guess Fox. I said, don't they show? I said, when is that? Like TWD, 6NA. I said, can you get, I need an elder statesman, I think. There are a couple of them. And he said, do you want me to get? And I said, yeah. Just can you leave your phone on speaker and I'll just talk out loud. And he said, no. He said, why don't you go visit some elder statesmen? And I said, all right. So then I said, do I got like a jet? He said, oh yeah, you got a jet. I said, can I use Camp David? And he said, I don't know. I said, can we have the debates at Camp David? He said, not a public debate. And I said, all right, well, you get. I'll meet you at Camp David. You get the top 30 candidates there. And Ben Carson, tell him we're meeting at a camp, but don't tell him if it's Camp David or not. And we'll see what we'll do. And so then I boarded this jet, right? And I said, said, if this was only a couple of years down the road, I think I'd like, you know, he wouldn't be an elder statesman. But I said, I wonder what you'd call President Obama after he's president. It'd be troubling to call him an elder statesman because he's not that old. But he'd be the one I would want. But he's still president, so you know, conflict of interest. And I said, well, I was like hearing Bush laugh, so that helped me clear my head. So I flew down to see CW, and I should full disclosure, I had a huge crush on Jenna Bush at one time because I had a dream about her, and that's not a joke. And then he wouldn't see me because I set that into his security thing. And I said, I need elder statesman. Come on. And he said, no. And I said, I'm going to call him, and then I said, okay. I said, is Barbara still? I said, if I say I'm going to tell his mom, will you? And then I said, don't make me tell your mom. Let me in. And I said, it was just a dream. I knew Jenna would never go out with me. I mean, clearly. And so we sat and I said, you think we could do, you got a great laugh, President Bush, former president. I said, doesn't it get confusing with that former president, president? I said, elder state. I said, you know, did people call you W before you were president? And he was, and I said, I'm thinking about doing a debate to end all debates, and we're going to need I think we should do a live laugh track, and you could do the laugh track. And he said, I don't think I'll be doing any laughing at a debate. And I said, this one you might. So I said, come on, let's go. And he said, well, where else are we going? I said, I gotta pick up a couple other. I said, what other elder statesmen? I said, Bill, that's conflict of interest, so we can't. And I said, but I'd like to hang with him. I said, you guys must have got along on some level. You and Bill seem like you would kind of hit it off or just loathe each other. And he said, no, you know, he plays chess, I play checkers. And I said, you seem like more like you'd play trouble. And he said, I love trouble. And I said, well, I got it on the jet. Let's go. And he said, let's go. So believe it or not, I'm flying on this jet, W, playing trouble and I got trouble and sorry mixed up. So it took him he had to read the whole instructions. And I said, okay, what's the difference? Okay, tell me again. What's the difference between trouble and sorry? I said, which one slides? And then he said, and I said, well, I'm working on a hybrid debate. I said, what do you say we combine trouble and sorry? And he said, at the debate. And I said, I said, you're brilliant, man, because that's that they could call every debate that. I said, there's nothing more suiting for the debates than a hybrid of trouble and sorry. And he said, I don't get your what you're laughing at. And I said, okay, can we just hybridize trouble and sorry? And he said, well, I like playing trouble. And I said, okay, this guy's a former, this is my elder statesman. And I said, all right, so we played trouble. He's pretty good at it. And I said, is there any strategy in this game? And he was thinking. And so I said, well, for him, there's strategy. I said, I don't know if there is. And I said, you'll be sorry. And he said, you just mix in it. And I said, okay, don't worry. And then he said, I can't stop thinking that you're dreaming about Jenna. And I said, that was like 15 years ago. Don't worry about it. Or maybe 10 years. I don't know. I said, believe me. I said, dude, I have a dream about every president when they're in office. And he said, really? He said, but you didn't dream about me. I said, you were in the dream for a little while. I stopped by the White House to pick up Jenna for a date. And Barbara was there and your dad. And we talked and she didn't want me going out with Jenna. And then it got crazy after that. You don't want to know. But I said, you'll be sorry. And then he laughed, but I don't think he knew what he was laughing at. Just like that joke earlier that I laughed at as a kid, master debater. But so we flew, and they didn't give me like a good jet. They gave me like a, you know, okay jet. And then I was like, man, I'd like to get the Parker brothers to me. And I said, well, that would be a pretty boring debate, you know, Twister that's been done. So we got to Camp David. I said, well, I don't know. I said, I don't think this is good as a dictator to get into a fight with the candidates right away. So I said, well, what am I going to do then? And he just kept pressing the thing. I said, what are you trying? Are you trying to drive me nuts? And he said, no, it's your turn. Because that's what I do when I'm bored. And I said, man, I said, can you occupy? I said, I need to find. And I said, can you get some Camp David staff down here? I need someone to play trouble with the former president. And they gave me this guy, Daryl. And I said, Daryl, I said, you got to play trouble with him. And I said, if you can figure out how to hybridize trouble and sorry and get him to play it, you know, I've been trying to do it for freaking 4,000 miles. And then, so I left the president and I said, I had him like mic'd and everything. And then I said, what is he? He's not going to laugh at the debate, especially if it's me. And then I said, well, maybe this Master Chef, even though we don't have the copyright to Iron Chef or Master Chef for the debate. So then, and then I said, you know what I said, I'd love to throw PBS. I said, man, I don't know any PBS, PBS executives' nicknames, but I said, you know, I called on my assistant, Larry OK, and I said, okay, get a hold of the PBS. Tell them, are they doing a pledge week? And he just looked at me like, are you kidding? He goes, they're always. And I said, they're not always doing a pledge week. It's just when it's pledge week, you notice when it's pledge week. But when it's not pledge week, you don't notice. And he goes, well, if you notice it's pledge. And I said, are you sure it's pledge week? And I said, tell them to start a double pledge. I said, tell them, I said, we're going to do something big for PBS. And I said, did they get rid of the NEA? Because I'd like to get some money to the NEA. I said, can you get a giant Mapplethorpe poster? And he said, for the debate. And I said, as dictator, I declare. He goes, I don't even think that's a pop culture relevant, you know, reference no one will ever get. And I said, yeah, it'd probably be hard to get W to laugh if there's some sort of something like that. I said, okay, I got you. But get PBS on the phone. I got something big planned. And he said, what? I said, you know, it's a debate, the debate to end all debates. And he said, you can't just give it. I said, I can do whatever I want. I'm a dictator. And he said, the oligarchs aren't going to like this. And I said, oh, I forget. I didn't realize they own all the television networks. Oh, man. I said, okay, well, I said, anyway, I said, don't worry. Tell them this is the prequel or whatever. This is only the lead up. I said, we got plenty of time to the elections. And he said, okay. And then I said, I got another problem. I got to get Bush laughing on demand. And I said, was the CIA ever allowed to like watch him like, or the NEA? And he said, the NEA is, I said, oh, the whatever the other one is. And I said, can you get, I said, I've been trying to get a hold of Edward Snowden, and he won't, you know, because we have the same kind of hair. And I said, can you get a hold of him and see if he could tap in and find out what makes President Bush laugh? And he said, maybe. I said, you're my assistant. Please help me. He said, okay. But he goes, I don't know what's going to make him laugh. And I said, what about, are you sure? Like some cartoon or something? And he said, I don't know. He goes, that's way too, you're playing to the stereotypes now. And I said, I guess so. You got me. He said, all right. Well, I said, when does everyone else arrive at Camp David? And he goes, shortly. And I go, did you tell Ben Carson where we were meeting? He said, no. And I said, tell him we're having, I said, I want him on site, but I said, tell him we're having a sleepover. And he said, he goes, he's an extremely intelligent man. He goes, he's not going to fall for that. And I said, well, tell him, I said, see what he does. Tell him we're having a sleepover at Camp David in the, you know, or something. And he goes, I won't do that. And I said, all right, fair enough. Invite him to the debate then. I said, but tell him to, I said, okay, he can come to the debate. He has to drink either 10 espressos or 20 coffees. Or I don't know, I don't want him taking any Red Bull because I don't need, you know, I don't need the lawsuits. He goes, you can't sue a dictator. And I go, I don't need it on my conscience either. I'm sure he can handle that. And he said, fine. So circumstances of leading up to the debate don't really matter. But I figured out what would make Bush laugh. So we flew in Peyton Manning because I said, I think Bush and Archie Manning are buddies or something. And I said, I made Peyton Manning put on ballet outfit. And I said, okay, whenever I need, you know, we'll send you. And that guy's so nice. He said, sure. I said, don't you have a game? And he said, yeah, tomorrow. And he goes, I love this country, man. And I said, well, I'm about to make a mockery. I said, I've already made a mockery of the country. He goes, well, I love making a mockery too. And I said, is there anything you don't love? And he goes, cancer. And I said, that's deep, man. I said, I said, okay, just go put your tutu on. You're getting I said, I need you silly mode. And he said, I got it. He goes, my middle name's Silly, Peyton Silly Manning. So then the debate day came. PBS had the exclusive. So there's chatter. There was, you know, people were calling me and yelling at me. NBC, Fox. I don't even know if there's CBS probably. I think George Stephanopoulos left me a nasty voicemail, but I don't know if it's related to that or not. And then I said, you're no Ariana Huffington. I called him back and he said, what does that even mean? And I said, I don't know. But you called me. He said, yeah, because you didn't give us a debate or any. He goes, we wanted you to come on so I can. I said, I'm a dictator. I do what I please. Boom, hung it up on Stephanopoulos. And then the debate came, and secretly I was planning. I wasn't sleeping the whole night. We had this giant kitchen. I mean, it was just the Camp David kitchen. It had this amazing kitchen, you know, so you could cook, you know, four different stations at once. And we had announcers, and we had Peyton Manning hiding in a tutu in a break room. We had Ben Carson in a bunk bed. He was prepping for the debate, getting ready. And we had Clinton, Sanders, and Trump, and all four of them, you know, they didn't realize they weren't in the kitchen. You know, they were all in their own green rooms. And they had heard about that. They said, well, this is a dictator of debates. Like, no airtime is probably bad airtime nowadays. And they said, you know, I said, I'll gif you, man. Don't worry. And they said, gif me? This was Hillary's people. And I said, gif. I said, oof. They said, weren't you listening earlier today when Mr. Rogers said he doesn't have any pictures of him in a bad mood? And I said, I was listening to that earlier today. And I said, well, this is a gif of Hillary going, And they said, no. And I said, well, I don't want her. You don't want her making any nice faces at the debate, you know, like. And they said, please don't gif our candidate or gif her. And I said, no problem. I said, it's going to be way worse than that anyway. And they said, what do you mean? And I said, just be ready for the debate. I said, it commences in, 30 seconds. And we had flown in the people from the original Iron Chef, who there's like an emperor, which I still don't understand. And then there was this celebrity team of judges and multiple reporters and the kitchen going. And I fired a couple of those guys because I wanted the airtime for myself. And, I said, well, geez, even the people from PBS, I said, I told you to bring 40 cameras. And they said, what are you getting us into? I said, the biggest fund drive in the history of PBS, probably. I said, you guys could even, I'm going to give you guys the candidates' meals and you can auction them off. And then they were like, sweet. So the clock was ticking down. The emperor of the kitchen was there. And then, of course, I said to him, you know, he says, you're an emperor, I'm a dictator. So I said, you know, don't make me coup you. You know, I'll coup d'etat you. And he said, I'm the emperor of the kitchen, man. You're the dictator of the debates. It's different. You know, we're like a Venn diagram. And I hugged it. I said, oh, my God, I couldn't have put it. I said, I was ready to coup d'etat you. And he said, yeah. He goes, we got to be like these. He goes, don't you learn anything from the oligarchs? And I said, I'm not even sure I know what oligarch means. I just like using it. And he said, okay. Well, I said, sure enough. And then he went, boom, hit the gong. Boom. I went into crazy mode, kind of like when I do the podcast on video. And I was like, I think I was too close to the gong too. But he said, you know, the Iron Kitchen is open. And then boom, there was like, it was a little bit like one of those Hunger Game type movies. Like the candidates just found themselves on their marks and the spotlight went on. And Bernie Sanders, he was asleep, believe it or not. And Hillary, she had her arms crossed and it was dark, but she uncrossed them fast. I said, that's sharp. That's good body language, you know. Awareness. And then Trump, he was like, he was ready to work. Soon it was like he has like some sort of spotlight, like brain act, like a spotlight, like some part of his brain, like his amygdala or whatever, when the spotlight hits him. And he was already making comments, but I had his mic shut off because I was like, I said, what does he think I am? This is my first dictatorial event. And then I said, I had one of these things, I guess. This was going, I said, ready on Peyton Manning, cue Peyton Manning, get ready on Peyton Manning. And then I said, first candidate to, you know, president, you know, is Mr. Donald. And Peyton Manning went through the room, Bush was playing Trouble and Sorry, and he went, do, 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 do. And I think he was riding a unicycle, and Bush cracked up. So Trump tried to make a joke, but Bush started laughing over him. Oh, It was like, and then he said, and then he tried again, and then Peyton Manning went back through the room. Bush laughed again, and he's got like this guffaw, but it put the rest of the room at ease. And then I said, next candidate Bernie Sanders, and he said what? And I said, it's just like what? And then I cracked up, and then said, next Secretary of State Clinton. Because I said, I wasn't announcing it. This is what I was saying in my head. I'm sure they did a proper, I think that's still the proper term. And then she just waved, but she was kind of like wondering what was going on. And I said, oh boy, if they only knew. And then I saw at least, I think Bernie Sanders kind of knew what was going on. And then I said, I don't know if Trump knew, if he had seen Iron Chef, because then the panel of celebrities started commenting and then the interpreters were interpreting. So it would be a confusing environment to be thrown into if you were a candidate or any person, you know, you're on the spot, you're like, there's two different languages going on. There's lights, there's cameras. And then there's like lots of, I had lots of help. And I said, get him out here. And meanwhile, don't worry about Ben Carson. So I brought him into center stage. And I said, and then the emperor did his thing. He said, what? And he said, today's, you know, he does the whole thing with the ingredients. Today's ingredients. Said, as a, and they opened it up and it was like regular stuff, like normal people. It was ground beef, chicken breasts, beans, jasmine rice, broccoli, carrots, a couple other, just, and then you should have seen the three of them. And I looked and I said, at least Bernie Sanders, I think he knew what a chicken breast looked like, uncooked chicken breast. The rest of them, they were looking at the ground beef like, what is it? What the heck? And I said, they looked at me because they knew. And I said, and I just went up to the gong and I said, boom. And then they still stood there. And I said, you three need to cook a dish together for the judges to eat, to qualify for this is the debate to end all debates about the next debate. So I said, you know, if you can't work together to cook a meal, you know, you can't move on. And then they started sputtering and they said, what the hell? And I said, well, I just get Biden, you know. And then I said, I don't know. I'll have Biden against one of your, you know, one of the other guys. I said, I don't know which one. So, oh, that's a tough one. I said, I said, I don't know. But I said, and then we'll have more debates. They, you know, there's not going to be a victor. But I was like, you guys won't be there. And they said, I said, I'm the dictator of debates, guys. I do, you know, I do as I wish. So, you know, you better get cooking. Because then the clock was turning down. I said, if I were you, I'd make some ground beef tacos because you got about 12 minutes to make the meal. And they said, and then Bernie Sanders like picked up the ground beef and he said, and they say his mind, you know, his brain, I think is a little bit like mine. He's got a little extra gobbledygook in there, but it started saying, you know, throw this stuff in a pot. And so he threw it in a pot. And then, you know, then the three of them, they're like, this is like cooking ground beef's not that much different than boiling water. We all know. So we can make it. So then they started doing it and they were acting, I think they were being civil to each other because they were just kind of standing around and they were talking low, like, how are they going to get? And then I just bong hit the gong and I cued the emperor and he said something. And then, you know, they interpreted it, but so loud because the people, they were still commenting. They said, you know, what is he doing now, sir? And he said, I think he's, they're storing the ground beef. And I said, sir, what's he doing now? Bernie Sanders has his hand on his hip and he's staring at the ground beef. What's candidate Trump doing now? Candidate Trump is, I think he's trying to text someone. I said, do you think? And I said, okay, it's understandable. But they got the ground beef cooked eventually. You know, it's not that difficult. And they're trying. They're taking turns with a spoon. And I said, boy, these guys must think I was born last week. They're just going to try to pull this one over on me. And then they had the ground beef cooked, and they didn't even know to drain it. But they got it cooked, and they showed it to me. It's pretty sad, you know. Two incredibly intelligent adults and one incredibly rich one. Well, all of them. I don't know if Bernie Sanders is rich, but they showed me the ground beef, and they said, huh, that's in. I said, oh, boy. They said, okay, do you guys know they got to drain the fat off? Most taco recipes, and they drain the fat off. And they said, and then they showed it. I said, you got any seasoning, taco seasoning? And I said, what are you going to use, hard shell taco? I said, this is American meal. You don't get much more American than ground beef tacos. I said, you get some cheddar cheese and some lettuce and tomatoes. In the next 8 minutes, I said, you can be in the debate. And then they kind of, and they still thought I was joking. So then I got a mallet, you know, a kitchen mallet, and I went up and I pointed at the emperor. And then he made some speech about tacos with, you know, American style tacos. And they said, what are you at? And I said, well, I got close to them, three of them. They weren't happy. I said, huh. So I wonder who would be good with a knife. You know, who among you has knife skills? And I looked at their hands and I said, let me touch your hands. And they all had, you know, it's soft hands. And I said, somewhere in the top bunk of a bunk bed, because he yelled at me and said he would only take a top bunk, is Ben Carson. If you could find him, maybe he could help you. And then they said, and then Hillary was like, I know my way around Camp David. I know where the bunkhouse is. So they ran. And then I think they have this super cool bunkhouse, you know, for kids or whatever. So she knew right where it was. So they went there. They found Ben Carson. And he, believe it or not, whatever you think about his campaign, I don't even know how he knew this. He created a hybrid of Trouble and Sorry. I think, or maybe that's, oh no, I guess that was another metaphor for his campaign, or was it? I don't remember, but no, I think he did, or he said he knew the Parker Brothers. I don't know what it was, but they said, hey, Ben, we need your help. He said, doing what? And they said, the debate to end all, don't you want to be in the next debate? And he said, it's not going so hot for me, guys. I don't know about the next debate. And they said, well, we can't be in the next debate without your help. We need someone that can cut tomatoes and lettuce and onions. Can you do that? And he said, I believe I can. And they said, please, will you help us? Will you help us? We can't, you know, we couldn't take it if those other people, you know, were, you know, running. If we, you know, we need to be in the, they said, they got debate fever. And so he said, I'll help you. Because he seems like a nice guy. You know, I don't know much about him, but, you know, he's got that nice, soft face. So he goes with them. And then meanwhile, no one mentioned the tacos. They've had this ground beef sitting out for about 8 minutes. And no one even has they said, man. But so he cuts the tomato, cuts it up, cuts the lettuce up, iceberg lettuce. He says, we need a cheese, we've got to shred some cheese. So it took them a while to figure out cheese, because then they had the industrial cheese, and that was great. I wish I had a gif of that. It's like Bernie Sanders holding this block of cheese, and Hillary's holding a shredder, and then Donald Trump's holding Hillary's arms, because it's so, like, the violent movement of the shredding of the cheese. I mean, that would have, I said, PBS, did you get that? And they said, no, we shut all the cameras off. This is a farce. And I said, a farce that you could profit from, I mean, non-profit from, profit, you know, keep your job security. And they said, no, we had it all on tape. You're kidding me. And I said, okay. And they said, we're selling some of that cheese from the floor that fell on the floor. You know, we're, that's a prize for $1,000 and over. And I said, almost all the cheese is on the floor. And they say, yeah, but they had a little bit of cheese that didn't get, because they were shredding it. They didn't realize it was shredding, you know, on the floor. And then they go back, and Carson still, he's very carefully. And then I said, well, the emperor said, you know, I don't know if it was one minute. Boom. And then I said, okay. And then, you know, you got Ben Carson walking around with a handful of things. And I said, you guys don't. So then I helped him out. I got him a couple bowls. I said, put the cheese and these in a bowl, please. And then they showed me the ground beef. I said, I don't watch any of those Kids' Kitchen shows, but this is like one of those Kids' Kitchen shows. I said, holy mackerel. But they just showed, I said, guys, hard shell tacos and taco seasoning. And I said, you know, that's an emperor. I'm a dictator. You know, we got kind of, meanwhile, the whole time they come in, what is he doing, sir? They say, they don't have any taco seasoning. He said, what are we having, hard shell or soft shell tacos? And they said, it's hard shell tacos. I believe the dictator wants hard shell tacos. And so, I said, man, what's the budget on? I said, maybe PBS is going to lose. Who's paying all these people? And they said, I forgot to ask about our budget. And then I said, all right, cue Peyton Manning again. And I said, get some silly music going. And so then we had silly music and Bush laughing. And then I said, man, and then I said, you guys run around the kitchen. And they said, what? And I said, this is all a farce then. I got to help you. Because I said, we really need you in the debate. It's going to hurt. And I said, run around the kitchen and bounce off. And so they're running around the kitchen, bouncing off each other, running back and forth. And I went and opened up the cupboard, and there's the taco seasoning and there's the shells. And then I brought it and I put it right in front of the ground beef. And then I said, I found a measuring cup and I said, oh, geez, I wonder what happened if a quarter cup of water accidentally, I said, come on, Carson, come on. I said, accidentally hit that. And then, you know, I got him to turn the water on and I got a quarter cup and I put it in there and I said, you know, Trump, you got to do something, man. If you want to be, I can't, this is all on camera. Meanwhile, they were really putting their effort into running around, you know, like they were putting out fires, but they weren't really going anywhere. They're good at that, all of them. But they come in back in the kitchen and Trump takes the taco seasoning. And they say, Sanders, stir this stuff. And he said, all right. And I said, Hillary, I said, can you please, I said, this is probably the hardest job, you know, and no offense. I said, can you just take these out of the packaging? There'll be two that are broken. It won't. I said, but eight of them won't be broken. And so she, you know, how they have the taco shells are in that, you know, nuclear proof coating, but it doesn't keep them from getting broken. But she takes them out. And then I hand her a cookie. She says, stick them in the oven for like 2 minutes. And then they do that. And then I says, okay. So could you guys think you could assemble some tacos? You know, one of you may be running what we call the free world. I said, but can you at least assemble the tacos together? And I'm going to turn my back. And then as soon as I turn my back, the commentators, they exploded all. And I said, oh boy. And I turn around and it was like nachos basically in the attempt to make. And I said, okay. I said, just serve that. It was like crumbled up tortillas, cheese, ground beef. And I said, well, I said, it's a inside out taco. And I said, bring it up to the judges. And they brought up the judges, and the judges, you know, they're comedians, you know, Iron Chef comedians. Meanwhile, I had Bush laughing the whole time. And they serve it, and then they make jokes about inside out taco, and that's how you always said, this is how you run your car, you know, this, you make a mess of your dinner, you know. And I said, so this is what we got. And then I said, you know what, let's all eat together. And they said, we're not eating. I said, no, of course not. I said, bring in the real food. Then we had a catered dinner and brought W out, and then we all sat down. And I said, you guys did pretty good. You know, I put you on the spot. It's just the candidates and W, myself, and, my assistant, okay, Larry, okay. And, you know, some of them were having after dinner drinks. I was having a, you know, just a sparkling water. And I said, you guys did pretty good. But I said, we got a game to play here. And I said, and then W, and I said, did you tape it? And we taped the game boards of a Trouble and Sorry together. And I said, we're going to watch you play. And then, you know, the order will be the debate, you know, the order in the debate, you know, you can pick your seat even. And Trump said, really? Because I get to, you know, he's like, I gotta have the right angle for my face and my head. And I said, there's a right angle for that. But I said, all right, man. And I said, you guys did pretty good. You know, we wouldn't have starved. I said, 2016, we might not starve. I said, but if you guys, you know, can complete this game of Trouble and Sorry, you know, but you qualified for the next debate as dictator of debates, you know, my decree is that, and then, oh, the good, they're partying in the other room, the PBS staff, Iron Chef staff, you know, it was a pretty nice environment. And so that ended, you know, then I said, unfortunately, well, it wasn't bad. Me and Ben Carson shared a bunk bed because I promised him I would tell him a bedtime story. But then I said, hey, Ben, tell me about, tell me that story again about school. And then he put me right to sleep. It was like, he said, hi. I don't even know. I don't do a Ben Carson, but it was pretty boring. And actually, W. Pate Manning hung out. It was a great time. And, you know, they did their best making tacos so they could qualify for the next debate. And we've done our best here, a little bit better here, like with the support. And as we close out tonight, I just want to give everybody a chance. The helpline's on there. So if anybody needs any help, they need somebody to talk to, they've been impacted, the helpline's on there. If you need to talk to someone, you're in crisis, or you even think you're not sure if you're in crisis, if you're in stress, there's no reason not to call if you're feeling some of the effects of things. And I want to thank everybody, all the listeners of Sleep With Me podcast, that in the community of Sleep With Me podcast that helped make this happen. And everybody that's been here for this ride. I can't believe we, it didn't feel like it's 8 o'clock at night. Wow. And I don't know if we raised any money or did anything, but we didn't do nothing. Is that you know what I mean? We were all here gathered together. If anyone needed to pop in and hear some nonsense, hear some stories, some real stories got told today, so that people know, you know, it's confusing in this world. You know, like I talk about, we all feel alone sometimes. Some of us are more than sometimes. In some sense, we are alone, or whatever the hell you want to philosophize about digital and all that. But there is another sense of spirit that you're not alone, that we do care. And then we might not have this global power to have this gigantic impact. I can't tell you how proud I am to be associated with the people to know that you listen to my podcast. Like, I should be so honored and that we can do this together. And hopefully this is just the first time we can do something like this to, you know, if I have any platform or whatever the hell you call this, or people that are listening to me, you know, if I can help you fall asleep, you know, that's the main mission of the podcast. It's a podcast to put you to sleep. But if we have an opportunity to do anything little like this, you know, I want to do it. So to say, I care, in the little way I can, you know, do one of these. And I hope anybody that joined us, I've seen a lot of steady faces up there up top that doesn't listen to podcasts. Not that you have to listen to podcasts. I'd rather you, you can. It's a podcast to put you to sleep. But, you know, if you can do anything out there just to help anybody, or you know, just a couple of these stories accidentally ended with breathing and some taking some time. And whether it's breathing or meditating or moments of silence, moments of prayer, moments of connection and smiling with your family, or thinking about your family history and being open to what that means, or whatever it is, just being nice to somebody at work tomorrow. You know, see what you can do. Yeah, we're all connected. All right, everybody. Thanks so much, and sleep well. And if you have a chance, France and Beirut, we're with you in spirit. Okay. Good night.